So Paul and Barnabas, as we know, blah, 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 how we known from last week, or knew from last week, or was told from last week. However, the proper English, and clearly how clear it would be, is that, yo, they're in Antioch, right? They're back in Antioch, and they're raising up disciples, and they're not on a boat, but boat's up there anyways. But they're raising up disciples. They're teaching people. They're telling people about the gospel. They're telling people about what has happened on their ministry trip, telling about all those miracles that God has performed for them and for the Gentiles. Seems like everything's clicking, right? Everything's going well. Do you think it's going to stay that way?
No.
No, it's not. Unfortunately, things happen, right? Things happen. And along comes a debate that is still today is kind of in argument with some groups. So in Acts 15, 1 through 2. Kayla.
There are certain men who came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about the question.
So the Mosaic law. So this was set, and this was set and given to the Jewish people by, anybody guess who?
Men.
Moses.
Oh.
Mosaic.
Well, yeah.
Moses.
Technically
right. Technically man, right? but it was spoken through God. It was given to the Jewish people. But in that, it states that all males need to be circumcised. So both Paul and Barnabas were circumcised, yet they were upset. They actually say no small dissension. What does that mean? It means that the dissension was, there was none, or what does it mean? There's no small dissension or dispute. What does it mean?
I don't know.
You don't mean? It means that there was a huge dissension. Right? It's no small. It means that it was huge. It was huge. They were very upset. Dissension means an argument or, you know, opposing thoughts. It's not that big. In my Bible, it's only this big. Now, the church of Antioch, because of this, because there was some dissension, no small dissension, there was a huge dissension, they asked him to do what?
To go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question.
Right, exactly. You know, they asked him to go ask the church at Jerusalem. Why? Why the church at Jerusalem? That authority. They were kind of the head of the church, right? They're the head of the movement at this time, the head of the Christian movement right now. So they were kind of like the leaders. So they were going to ask the leaders. So, and they're asking the question of what?
Should people be circumcised or not?
Right. Exactly. Why was this a big deal? Why was there dissension? Because, why do you think? Does it spell it out there, literally right there? Not really, but can you guys guess what that is? So some people are saying, no, you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. Some people are saying, no, you don't. Why is that a big deal? What?
What?
I didn't hear you.
Go ahead.
Good. Yeah, it's probably good. TJ, any ideas? I have no clue. Maddie, you know, right? Have a clue, guess, doesn't matter.
It states in the law of Moses.
Is it states in the law of Moses? No, that's what people are saying. So, but you're on the right track is because are we under that law of Moses? So that's the big deal. Are we under the law? What are we under? Does anybody know? Starts with a G. It's not Gary.
No.
She said something.
No. You said something?
No. I think it was right. You should say it.
No.
It could be a girl's name. Starts with a G.
Gabriella.
It's not that one.
You said it.
Come on, just say it.
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you did. I heard you.
Grace.
She said the law of God. No. Yeah.
Said.
Said.
No. It's correct? Grace. It's grace. Grace, but it's by God, right? So circumcision is a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham, and God is in Abraham's descendants. So that was a sign saying that, no, I belong to God. It was to show that they were there. But the big deal is that these people were putting a condition on being saved. Oh, you can be saved, but you have to do this. But you have to do this. So in John 14:6, and I'll read this one. It says, go ahead and put it up there. As far as it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Plus, they have to follow Jewish conditions. Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that, right? So you can't trust anybody who adds. First thing is you can't trust anybody who adds words or takes away words from the Bible. That's why we need to read the Bible, right? It's because we need to know for ourselves. Because in Proverbs 36, Maddie, can you read that? Okay, I was found a liar, right? Because you guys know, because you guys knew the word, right? So let me give you some examples, all right? So let's say, for instance, you guys went to a late movie.
I fall asleep in those.
Save Michelle. Well, it's a late movie. You fell asleep, you woke up because the end credits are running. And you go out there and you talk with your friends. And before you know it,
Continue.
Before you know it, you lost track of time and you're late. Your curfew is just around the corner and you're late.
Uh-oh.
Your phone's dead. So you decide to go home, right? And your foot gets a little heavy. What does that mean? No, it means you're speeding, right? You speed a little bit on the straight. Oh, it's like, okay, I'll speed a little bit. You turn the last corner, and your house is almost in sight. And in your rearview mirror, whoop. Red and blue lights. So what do you deserve?
To cry.
To cry? A ticket? You deserve. Did you speed?
Yes.
So you deserve.
How much though?
It does it. Does it matter?
Well, yes, but it does. It depends how much, because if you're only speeding like a little bit, then they technically can't give you a ticket. But it depends how much you're speeding.
Jail time.
Okay, you're speeding. If the sign says 35. And you go 36, are you speeding?
Yes, you are, but that technically doesn't mean they can give you a ticket.
Yes. Just buy a little. I have tickets for them. Mm-hmm. I know people that are definitely not me, but I know people that
are. You know, there is an urban legend, let's put it out there, is that you could go 5 over. And technically, usually, they will give you a little grace, we call it grace, a little mercy there for the five over. But technically, you break the law, it's you break the law. It doesn't matter. You go 35 and a half mile over, you're still breaking the law, right? So you deserve a ticket. But let's say, what if the police officer comes up to your door and you start crying? No, what if it goes, knocks on, he's like, you know what? I understand. I'm going to give you a warning. Now, this is, it's technically, the officer's showing you mercy at this point. So let's say you're going 50 in a 35. All right. So if you double the speed, it's criminal speed, and you basically could get jail time. All right. So let's say you're going 100 in a 35 mile an hour zone. All right. And then the police officer still says, you know what, I'm going to give you a warning because I understand I was a kid once and I was running late once, but don't do it again. So that's showing mercy. Now, but let's say another case where the police officer comes up to you going, you know what? This department I work in is very righteous and very just. I pulled you over. I need to write a ticket because that's the only right thing to do. Because a ticket needs to be written. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my name on the ticket. You don't have to pay any fines. You don't have to do anything. You don't get any penalties. Your license is great. You could go on your way. Now that is grace. Because he took your punishment and you don't have to do anything. Now there's another case, just another one, where the police officer comes up and says, you know what? My department is very just and very righteous. I need to write a ticket. I'm going to put my name on the ticket instead of yours, but what I want you to do is go back to the movie theater and drive the speed limit all the way home. That works. Because you're doing something for him to put his name on the ticket. See the difference? Does that make kind of sense? Yes, no, maybe so? Right. So in Romans 11:6, oh, it is up there. Would you like to read that?
And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work.
All right, there's a lot of talking back and forth, right? But does that make sense to you guys? It's talking about there's no conditions for grace. There's no works in grace, or it's not grace. And if there's, I don't know. Yeah. But so does that make sense? If there's no grace, they contradict each other. Grace and work contradicts each other. If there's works in grace, it's not truly grace. But if there's grace and works, it's not truly works. They don't go hand in hand. It's all right. The alarm will go off.
It went off.
Not, yeah. It could have been ours. Ours goes off all the time. There's a sensor. Long story. So we're back in Acts, right? So we're still in Acts 15, and we're still following what Paul and Barnabas do. So they're on their way, right? What are they doing? They're on their way to the elders. Yes, and the apostles in the city of,
New York.
Jerusalem. Jerusalem. You're close. Yeah. Only a few thousand miles away.
That's not that much.
So, Acts 15:3-5. He Kiana.
Don't say no Kiana there.
Kiana.
I mean, I'm not Justin. Okay.
So being sent on their way by the church, they pass through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. And they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the
Pharisees
who believed rose up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses."
So they're going to Jerusalem, as they're passing by, they're going to all these cities, and they're saying, "Oh, well, the Gentiles are getting saved, and this is awesome, yeah!" And then we find out the Pharisees are back, yay!
Oh, you
gotta go,
yeah!
Oh. It may not have been the same Pharisees as before the cross, but they still don't get it. They still don't get it. And then in some translations, the Pharisees even changed their names. They're called Judaizers. Now, Judaizers in Greek, what that means is that the ones would keep the Jewish customs. So, Judaizers, they believe that you need to be Jewish to be saved. You know, whether you're born Jewish or you need to be converted to Judaism to be saved. So, and that's what they're saying here, is that they need to do this. They're contradicting what Paul and Barnabas say. And then 6-9, don't take a drink. It's time to read.
God who knows the heart and acknowledges them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith.
So, do we remember which Gentile Paul is talking about?
Corn,
exactly. Cornelius. You know, it seemed like it was only a month ago. Cornelius was just a young little type. But actually, it's been 10 years.
What?
It's said that it's been 10 years. Now he's old, he's gray. Eh. But it's been 10 years. That's why when they say it's great while, it's been 10 years. So, you know, this question did actually pop up just now. It's been 10 years, right? It's been out there. You know, our human nature wants us to be in control. Typically, it wants us to be in control. It wants to say, look at me. Look how well I'm doing. I'm doing better than you. It kind of is true. If you think about it, for all people, is you want to do good, right? And you kind of want to do better than anybody else. For most people, I mean, there's, you know, we have that. So this has been up, and in 10 years, people get in their way, or get set in their way. So these people, you know, they're kind of stronghold in what they believe. Now, the point is that Peter, when he told Cornelius, you know, he didn't tell Cornelius, I should say, after he received the Holy Spirit, he didn't tell him, oh, by the way, you need to follow the Jewish law or you won't be saved. He didn't say that because Peter got it. He knew that Cornelius was saved as soon as he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. It didn't take anything else. That was it. That he got baptized and he was saved. You know, God saw no difference between the Gentiles and the Jews. And the question is, so why should they see a difference between the Gentiles and the Jews? Maybe you should turn that down a little bit. So 10 through 11, TJ? All right, so the yoke, it's nice, pretty necklace, right?
Oh, you're talking about an egg yolk.
Crack an egg over their neck. That'd be
salmon.
That'd be slimy. So what is a yolk besides an egg yolk?
I don't know. You said a necklace.
So what
necklace? It's not a necklace.
Dang it.
Yeah, a plow. A plow. So you're right, and it can be, I mean, they typically used an ox, but it can be on a mule, depending on who's plowing. But it was the thing what goes around the ox's neck, and then it's pulling a plow.
Almost like a harness.
Yeah. Basically, it would be like a wooden harness. Exactly. Like a harness for your dog and everything. But it's pulling a plow, which, when you're pulling, depending on the dirt, it can be tough, right? And that's why they use a big, strong animal to do it. So in this case, in what they're talking about here, what are they using to, the yoke is a metaphor for what? In these verses. It's a metaphor for what? You know what a metaphor is, right? It's holding them back? No, well, I'm talking about, so the yoke stands for something. What does that stand for? And the metaphor is just they're using that yoke in place of another word. What's similar? What are they trying to do, keep them under? What are they trying to?
Burden.
A burden, yes, it is a burden.
Like
but
the Jewish laws.
The Jewish laws. So that it's the burden of the Jewish law. So they're saying the yoke is the law, right? And why is it a burden?
Because it has so many rules which like don't even like technically apply.
Well, it has so many rules. It's kind of like that same thing as far as if the speed limit says 35, if you go 36, are you breaking the law?
Yes.
Yes.
A little.
But you're breaking the law. It's kind of like, actually, this is in driving school once, this guy told me this. It's like, so if you're passing somebody and the speed limit is 35, if you're passing somebody, is it okay to go 40 to get around them?
Yes. Like in a passing zone?
Yeah, in a passing zone.
No.
Yeah.
No. You're breaking the law. You're speeding. Oh, the only reason you pass somebody is because they're going under the speed limit, right?
No.
No, but see, the speed limit's posted at 35.
And it's too slow that you can pass.
Right? The speed limit is posted at 35. So that's the speed limit. So it doesn't matter what, I mean, there is something where you want to be safe, right? And you can't hang out there while somebody, when the passing lane ends. But technically, you're breaking the law if you go over 35. So that's why it's such a great burden, because if you're guilty of the smallest thing, you're guilty of breaking the law, right? So there was all these little things, and no human has ever not broken the law. You know, and it doesn't matter if you've been caught by another human, because God knows your heart, knows everything, right? So nobody's ever fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled the law, but no human has ever fulfilled the law. You know, we've all fallen short. In 15, 12 through 17, Andy, aren't you happy?
Oh.
It's almost like you can't see the space in between the words. Okay, let's split it up. Okay, 12 through 14. 12 through 14. Who's Simon? Who's Simon? It's not Simon Says. Don't say it. Don't say that.
It's a person.
Who's Simon? It is a person, right? But who's Simon?
Wait.
This person has two names.
Simon Peter.
Yes, right. Simon Peter. It's Peter. I was just trying to keep you up. So then let's go on to 15 through 17. Kayla. All right, so we see that there's a testimony from Peter, Paul, and Barnabas, right? And this testimony is telling the people about what? It's telling people about how God's accepted the Gentiles, have done works and miracles just like they did for the Jews, for the Gentiles, right? Excuse me. Now, that should have been enough to say that, you know, God's willing to accept the Gentiles just like they are. But then James actually added to it and said, even in the Old Testament. So he's quoting Old Testament of Amos chapter 9, verse 11 through 12, but he's quoting that and telling them that even in the Old Testament, God talks about saving the Gentiles. You know, and it's not just about the Jews being saved. It's talking about the Gentiles being saved. And this is in the Old Testament. And they're saying the Old Testament, no, that's what we need to go by. So James is saying in the Old Testament, they're saying Jews, our Gentiles, will be saved. And then 18 through 21... Maddie?
Yeah. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. But we write to them to
abstain.
Lost my place.
Yeah.
From things polluted by idols, from sexual immortality, from things struggling from any blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city. Being read by synagogues by every Sabbath.
Right. So now get this, is that James not saying, well, it's okay to be uncircumcised, but you need to do these four things in order to be saved. He's not actually saying that. He's still saying that we are saved by grace, the grace of God. However, if we are saved, there are some things of this world. There are some things of this world it's going to be wise if we don't partake in. right? There's things that we shouldn't be doing. We should be staying away from. Things polluted by idols. And saying that this would be wise to stay away from. Now, this is kind of twofold. Is because ever since the very beginning, idol worship is a good thing or a bad thing?
Bad.
It's a bad thing, right? Because we can't have two lords. There's no way we can have two lords, and God doesn't have an equal. So we can't have anything equal to God. So we can't have idol worship. And then in that day, what they would do is that they'd have all these times where they're sacrificing to the idol, and there'd be meat. And what the Gentiles or pagans would do is that, you know, as soon as they sacrifice the meat, and then they go, okay, now let's go sell the meat. So it's kind of like a double duty thing. They're trying to sacrifice it, but then it's like, okay, now I'm going to sell it. And for the Jewish custom is that they're like, no, that's not cool. So it's twofold because you have to think about your brother. You have to think about others. So if it's going to stumble somebody, you have to think about that and going, you know what, maybe I shouldn't do this so I stumble my brother. Or maybe I don't do it right in front of them. Or whatever that case is. If they know you're doing it and it's a stumbling block for them, we need to think and put them first. We need to put others before us. Right? So, you know, James is kind of saying, you know, we need to think of, you know, maybe our Jewish customs as far as you don't want to stumble these people. And it works both ways. You know, you don't want to stumble these people over here. So we need to get along because we need to be one accord in Jesus. And then you would think that sexual immorality, well, that's a no-brainer. You should stay away from that, right? But the reason that it was said gives you a clue how bad it was. You know, the Gentiles had a lot of practices that they had no idea it was wrong. It's kind of sad that they didn't have any idea it was wrong, but they didn't know it was wrong. So they had to be told. You know, they had to be told that, you know, sex was just for marriage. Not anything else. And then, you know, strangled animals. Strangled animals in things of blood, they're kind of the same thing. Because a strangled animal, if it was strangled, it wouldn't be drained of its blood. I mean, it's full of blood, and then if you're eating blood, I don't know why you'd have to tell people don't eat blood. But you do. You know, it's not good to eat blood. This was told way back in Genesis. It was told to Noah. You know, it was way before Moses, before the Mosaic law. This is a practice that you don't want to do, right? You know, these aren't Jewish customs. He's not saying you need to do Jewish customs. He's just saying that these are the things the Holy Spirit put on my heart, put on James's heart, and said, you know, what we would do well. It'd be good for us not to do these things, to abstain from them, to keep them there because they're tripping hazards. They're traps to fall into the old practices. So we're going to go over some yes or no questions. So you got a 50-50 shot, whether it's right or not. All right, so are we saved by grace through faith? Who says yes? It's not a trick question. Michelle got it wrong. All her hands, her arms in a sling. That's all right. We'll give her a pass. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith. Now, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus has done everything, and he is the only one who can save us. Yes or no? Yeah. Right. Yeah, blah, blah. You were right. Yes.
Are you okay?
No. Are we only partly saved by grace and need to do good works to be saved?
No.
No. It's a thumbs down. And when we are saved, or if we are saved, does Jesus want us to live a righteous life?
Yes.
Does that mean that we may need to change things that we've done? Right. So that's kind of the rub. That's kind of the point. So being saved is by grace, in God has endless grace. These are both true. Works does not work. You know, and there is wisdom in the law, and we should be keeping away from bad things. But there are some that think, oh, it's okay to keep some things in my life, and God will forgive me. God will forgive me. The fact is, yes, He can. He can. But don't confuse the point that we're not under the law and we're under grace. Because there's a trap. There's a trap out there. And you don't want to fall into it and think, well, if I do bad things, if I keep doing bad things, well, if I get caught, I'll just rededicate my life to Jesus. You know, it's not that. You know, God is bigger, and God has bigger plans for you than that. You know, even if the temptation is huge, you do not have to go and fight it alone. In Joshua 1:9, would you read this, please?
Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
So God is always with us. God is always with us. He's with us wherever we are. And He's there to help us, and He's there to guide us. Kiana, would you please end us in prayer?